Welcome to the Two Mics on the Record podcast. We are, of course, the Two Mics. Who are you?
I am Mike Porky Parry.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
You don't seem that sure.
No, I am, absolutely.
I'm definitely Mike Graham.
You're definitely Mike Graham.
Or sometimes MG, as I'm known.
MG, as you're known.
Porky, did you know that Beer 52 is the world's largest craft beer discovery club?
Yep.
And they're so great, right, that you can actually go there now and get a free case of beer in time for Christmas.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. They are, in fact, also, you know, an incredible, exclusive, small batch craft beers provider, okay? And it's from the world's greatest breweries.
That's
I'll
right.
tell you what, it's great. Every month focuses on a new country or theme, and listeners of ours now who sign will get to discover fantastic beers as part of their West Country Road Trip Month. All
West
right?
Country, eh? Very good.
Yeah, this features amazing beers from up and down, up and coming brewers in and around Bristol, such as Firebrand's Juicy New England IPA, Lost and Grounded, with their incredible Keller Pilsner and Harbour, with their refreshing Ellensburg Session IPA. Like darker beers? Well, get yourself the mixed case. Like light beers, get the light case. It's absolutely easy. You'll be able to read all about the beers and learn more about how they're made in the 100-page Ferment magazine, which is included in the box. And we've got a box in front of us here.
Yeah, we have.
In our very studio, and it looks very appetising.
It's very appetising indeed. And as a listener to this show, you can try your first case for free. Just pay £5.95 postage. That's 8 incredible craft beers, Ferment magazine, and a snack. Delivered next day shipping, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. There's no minimum content. You can just take the free case, try the beers, and see what you think. If it's not for you, you can pause, cancel any time. Don't miss this chance. Get the beers in for the festive season.
That's it. Just visit www.beer52.com/Mike and claim your free case today. Say that again, please, Porky.
You want me to say that again?
Please.
Why do you want me to say that again?
So that people can tell exactly where to go to get the free beer.
Okay, just visit www.beer52.com/Mike, okay?
Yep.
And claim your free case, and you can do that today.
Now, you know what we haven't done for a while?
What?
We haven't done a Porky Vision
for a while. Well, you know, I've been watching a lot of stuff, and so I'm very happy to do Porky Vision.
Are you?
And I've got a great programme to tell you about in the first half of this Porky Vision.
Okay.
It's called Blood.
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 Yeah, Blood.
I haven't seen that. Where's that on?
It's based in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fantastic programme about a doctor who we think is a murderer.
Really?
Yeah. And I think he murdered his wife.
Right.
And his family come home, want to know, where's Mammy Dad? And
why do they speak like that?
Well, because they're Irish. They're all Irish, you see.
What's the sort of time frame? When is it set?
It's modern day.
Modern day.
Modern day. Yeah. So the guy who is the head of the family and the doctor is the same guy.
Family.
The same guy in that great police series. You know the police series.
Which one? Dark Heart.
No, the one about the corruption squad that investigates all
Line
other
of
cops.
Duty.
Line of Duty.
Oh, you mean the Northern Irish guy?
Aidan.
The Northern Irish guy.
What's his name? Aidan.
I don't know what his name is. Yeah, but he's the older guy. The guy's in charge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's got the Northern Irish. Jackson, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And
he calls everybody darling. He's a bit old-fashioned.
Yes, that's
he's gonna like him.
Yeah, but he's got a big nose, big face.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was the superintendent in Line of Duty.
Looks like a guy you'd run into in the Europa bar in the old days.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. Now he's he plays the doctor, and of course they've got a huge family estate because doctors get paid pretty well in Ireland.
Yeah.
And his first, one of his daughters is, she comes from the big city.
Oh, yeah.
Come from Dublin.
Dublin.
She works in the factory in Dublin.
Really?
But she comes home because her mammy's been killed. And
how old is she, this woman?
About 30, something like that, yeah, yeah.
Does she go to Temple Bar, by any chance?
She probably goes to Temple Bar, absolutely right. Great place, Dublin,
it
for
is.
A bit of rock
I love
and roll.
The Liffey, yeah.
Particularly on a Friday night,
Had
yeah.
a great think tank there once with Daily Mirror, it's fantastic.
Yeah, oh yeah, well I've been to a few there. I've been to football matches in Dublin, we've stayed in the hotels there. And
well, you famously were left holding the baby, weren't you, with the bathwater when
after
it all kicked
riots,
off after the riots. Yeah.
I stopped.
And your mate, Graham Kelly, disappeared pretty pronto, left you there.
Yeah, and David Davis.
Yeah.
David Davis.
Michael,
as they were disappearing on the coach to the to the airport to get out before the riot started on the street. You know, Michael, I want you to tell the Irish government we're very sorry. It destroyed half
Fair
of the
enough.
Football stadium.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, never.
Yeah.
I in fact
See
stopped.
Later.
I in fact stopped a diplomatic crisis between.
Which is not like you. Normally you
start them. Yeah. But it's the same night when Vinnie Jones bit my mate's nose. You know,
yes, of course. That happened in the Temple Bar, didn't it?
No, that happened in the same hotel we were in, was Royal Dublin or something like that. You know. But anyway, the point of the story is. Mm. This guy, I think his name's Aidan, isn't he?
I'm not sure what his name is. It could be, you could be right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And, I know who you mean, though.
And he's very suspicious, you know. I mean, in the sense that he's acting very funnily.
What, you mean he looks guilty?
Yeah, he looks guilty, yeah.
Is this like a BBC show? Because I've not seen
Channel it. Channel 5.
Channel 5.
Channel 5.
What are you doing watching Channel 5?
Well, because...
You're still trying to get your mate Ben Frow to give us a show. Ben,
actually, Ben's put on some good programmes, that's on. He also now hosts, of course, the Jeremy Vine TV show.
Oh, yes, which
I star
on.
Yes, that's right. And I'm starring on again in December.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to that. Yeah.
And in January, by the way.
Some people thought you did rather well.
Yeah, well, I did rather
some people
well,
expressed great surprise that you and Anne Widdecombe were able to actually meet each other in the same room without shouting.
Yes, well, you could be right. Mm. But anyway, the point I was going to make, was, so the daughter comes home and she goes down to the pond in the garden.
Oh,
and in the pond in the garden, there's a frog missing.
A frog?
A frog.
There's a frog missing.
Her mummy loved frogs and there were a lot of stone frogs around the pond.
Oh, I see, not a real frog.
Not a real frog.
Right, okay.
And so she comes back, she says... Daddy, where's the frog? And he says...
Why do you make it sound like a seven-year-old?
No,
it's a 30-something woman from Dublin.
Anyway...
Aidan.
Aidan,
whatever his name
he
is.
He says, I don't know where that frog is. Why would I know where the frog is? She said, I think you hit Mommy with the frog and killed her. And he says...
I mean, it's not exactly top-notch, this stuff, is it?
No, no. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. But then later... He leaves the funeral early because there's a funeral for the mammy because she's been killed.
Uh-huh.
And
why do you keep referring to her as the mammy?
Well, that's what they call him in Ireland.
Adrian Dunbar, that guy.
Adrian Dunbar.
Plays a bloke called Ted Hastings.
Ted Hastings, that's
in Line of Duty.
And then later he leaves the funeral early, and he drives his car out to a remote country setting where they've got ponds like lakes.
Yes,
and he throws the frog in.
The frog.
Yeah, missing frog.
Missing frog.
Missing stone frog.
Can you see whether or not there's any forensic evidence?
Well, no, you can't. You can't see if there's any blood in it. But the wife was having a few epileptic fits at the time.
Right.
So they put it down to she had an epileptic fit and fell and struck her head.
Oh, so the cause of death is a blunt blow to the head, is it?
That's right. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got it. You see. Got
see,
it.
Do you know, I went past a forensic police van the other day. It gave me the heebie-jeebies, actually. I was driving on the M25, and I saw this police van, and I was going a bit faster than I probably should have been, and I thought, I'll just slow down and pass the police van at 72, 73.
Yes.
And I noticed it was a forensic police van, so he probably couldn't have cared less if I was speeding anyway.
No, exactly.
But I wondered where he'd been, you know?
Yeah.
I wondered if there'd been some murder.
Well,
there's been a murder.
There are far too many programmes on TV which involve pathologists giving you far too much graphic information about the dead.
Yeah.
One of them is Lewis.
Yes.
But he's now shacked up with the pathologist, Lewis himself.
Oh, is he?
Oh, they're in the rumpy pumpy business.
See, I haven't seen the new Lewis, because I'm still trying to watch all the old ones. Similarly, I'm just now watching the last series of Line of Duty with Tandy Newton in it, who plays a very suspicious character.
Oh, she's fantastic.
You know, she's murdered the guy that was trying to kill her.
Yeah, that's right,
You know, she's now covering all that up. She's incredibly sort of insouciant.
Well, no, he wasn't trying to kill her. He was going to expose her.
No, he had the last scene of the first episode, he's got a chainsaw. He's about to cut her in half.
That's right. It is.
So when you say he wasn't trying to kill her, I think
she woke up and killed him.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
But I think you safely say with the chainsaw in his hand.
Yeah.
I don't think he was trying to give her a tattoo.
No, but I think she was already dead.
Well,
he
banged her head, didn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway,
I'll tell you what else is great. It's Dark Heart.
Dark Heart. What is that?
That's an ITV. That's the new
sort of American.
No, it's British.
Oh, is it?
It's really good.
What time's it on?
I think it started on Sunday night weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
I think it's a Sunday night show, around about sort of 8-9 o'clock.
What's it about?
Well, it's another one of these police dramas.
Oh, I see.
But it's very dark. The latest woman who's been murdered, turns out she was a porn star, but she was in all these kind of what you call slightly dodgy porn movies, where there's a lot of violence and people tying each other up and whipping each other. I thought you'd like that kind of thing.
Don't like darkness. But anyway, getting back to Blood. Right?
Blood.
And there's five episodes
in
all.
Is this a new show, then?
New show. It's been running all week, Monday to Friday.
Okay.
Five episodes, and so the conclusion will come in the fifth episode, believe it or not.
Well, I hope so.
Five. That's right,
Or maybe it'll be a cliffhanger.
Yeah. But anyway...
It might be a cliffhanger. They might do a second series.
Well, could be, yeah. But anyway, as they're all getting ready for the funeral, there's a knock on the door, at the family home. I wonder who that can be. So,
is this the 30-year-old again?
Yeah.
Sounds like a leprechaun.
So they go and open the door, and there's this filthy old tramp on the doorstep. Hello there. Hello, how are you all? And she says, who are you?
It's not that bloke from Father Ted, is it? Father Jack. Drink.
No, and she says,
Beck.
And who are you? He says, I'm your grandfather's cousin. Things like this happen in Ireland, you know.
Well, you
have
these
huge
that,
extended
I've
families.
I have to say at this point, you aren't turning out, you're making Ireland sound as if it's some kind of bizarre, you know, kind of country where everybody knows one another.
Well, this is country file Ireland.
Right.
It's not like Dublin.
Is
where
it meant to be
it's
sort of, you know, the west coast or something?
Well, it's sort of, probably it's somewhere like Kerry or something like that, you know.
Drogheda.
Two hours drive from Dublin, anyway. Could be Enniskillen.
Right.
But anyway... Or Sligo.
Right. Killarney.
But anyway, he says, I'm your grandfather's cousin.
Is he pissed, this guy?
yeah, he is, actually. He looks pissed, anyway. So he comes in, and everybody says, who are you? And then...
But he's already told him who he is.
yeah, but he hasn't told him everything.
Yeah.
So then the father comes in the room. This is the man we think is the killer.
Yeah,
what's his name?
It's
Adrian, isn't it?
Adrian, yeah.
Adrian. He comes in the room. But he's playing a character called Ted, isn't he?
No, Ted was in the other show.
Right.
Line of Duty was Ted Hastings.
Oh, was he? Yeah. What's he in this one?
I don't bloody know.
Well, you looked
seen
it up, Jack something.
No, I didn't look it up. I looked up Line of Duty.
Oh, I see.
I'll look up Blood if you like.
No, don't you look that up. No,
right, okay.
Take away the mystery of it all.
Surprise factor.
Yeah, so.
Same time, by the way.
Yeah, but anyway, so nobody knows who Frank is, and then.
Who's Frank?
Well, he's the tramp who's just turned up on the doorstep.
Sorry, I didn't get his name.
So then. Then an elderly relative comes in and she says, did I hear?
This is the worst walking vision ever.
No, yeah.
I have no idea what's going on there. And they all sound the same.
Says, she says, did I just see
that? Who's this?
This is an elderly relative, you know.
Okay.
Did I just see that revolting man Frank in our parlour
near
to our mammy? You know, because
she's still there, is she?
The body's still in the house, yeah.
Bloody hell.
They put it in
That's how they buried her, isn't it?
Eh?
Isn't it something?
Yeah, well,
there?
I mean, they're getting on with it. It was only the day after the killing, or 2 days.
They like
after
to
the
lay the body out in the parlour, don't they, the Irish?
They do, yeah.
Wake.
So anyway, another relative says, "Oh, him, Frank, you know, he's such a dirty old bastard.
Right.
We used to call him Frank the Skank." Then
Jesus Christ! Is this all the first episode?
First two episodes.
Right,
So Frank then spends the rest of this show touching women's bottoms and putting his hand on their knees and all this kind of stuff.
Shocking state of affairs.
Shocking state of affairs. He appears to be pissed at the funeral, you know, by giving people sort of funny looks and wandering around.
Uh-huh.
But the best bit is. He tried to put his hand on the leg of the 30-year-old who I've imitated
from Dublin,
a few times.
The
youngest daughter.
Is she the only daughter or is there more of them?
No, it's two daughters and a son.
Okay.
The son, by the way, in the middle of all this plot, as a subplot, is gay but doesn't want to tell his father, who's totally
secret,
against it.
Okay.
So he goes and gets pissed after the funeral and starts kissing men in bars, hoping his father will walk in.
Not in Dublin, presumably. This is in the country.
This is where the funeral was.
Okay.
So it's the town where the funeral was. You know, it's a small town.
Right, okay.
Not Dublin. Dublin, no.
Right.
So...
is there anybody else in this show that we would recognise, you know, in terms of the actors?
No, I don't think so.
Just Ted.
So anyway... So the youngest daughter has been told by her father, get out of my house.
Really?
Because, well, she's accused her father twice of killing their mother.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
they still haven't found the frog, meanwhile, right? Presumably they still haven't found the frog.
Well, they haven't found the frog because he's thrown it in a pond in the country.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, the next remarkable scene, the daughter's driving away from the funeral. It's pitch black. And as she's driving up the road, suddenly a figure... comes staggering out of a hedgerow, and puts his hand up like this to stop the car.
It's not Frank the Skank.
It's Frank the Skank. It's Frank the Skank. And what she does is, she slows down, then recognises Frank the Skank.
Right. So she runs him over.
Puts her foot down and runs him down. Knocks him over and knocks him into the air.
Fantastic. Yeah.
She didn't like Frank the Skank.
That sounds like a good ending for the second episode.
It could be. But, I mean, you know, there's all kind of subplots going on. You know, the father's medical practice is under pressure, you know.
Are the Garda any coming into this any time?
Well, funny enough, the younger daughter in this little town where they live, it's a one-horse town with one policeman.
Right.
And she goes to see the policeman, who's a great friend of her father's, because obviously a policeman, and the doctor, you know, have to call him out for fatalities and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And she goes to see cop, you know, the gardener, and she says, I don't know how you can not investigate my mummy's death more properly. And you know, the gardener says... Well, she fell over by the pond and hit her head.
Yeah.
She was epileptic.
Yeah.
She didn't. My mummy did not fall over. My father hit her on the head with a stone frog and killed her.
And the gardener says, what? What evidence do you have for this? I know! I know!
How does she know, anyway?
Well, I don't know what the... I don't know why she thinks...
Mother said something to her before she died.
But, anyway, what happens then is... Right. Is that Frank the Skank, who's been knocked over...
He's dead, isn't he?
Well, no, he survived.
He survived?
It. Yeah, but he's in hospital.
Right, okay.
But they go through his luggage, you find a gun.
Ah.
Like a revolver. Okay. But it looks like something from the First World War, literally. Okay. You know,
it's an old revolver.
It was an old revolver. Yeah. And what happens is that it's not the brother who's homosexual,
yeah.
Right? But I think it's the husband of...
Of the 30-year-old woman?
Of the other daughter, because the 30-year-old's not married.
Okay.
But for some unknown reason, he goes and finds the gun.
Right.
And then blows his own head off with it. I'm not sure why you find that
it
funny.
It doesn't sound like a comedy, but it's the way you tell them.
No.
It's the way you tell them.
Yeah, yeah. And
sounds hilarious. Anyway, listen, we've got to stop for a minute because I'm trying to get all this in my head around all of this.
Okay.
We're talking about blood. This is Porky Vision, of course. We're the two mics.
Right, now then, here we are back in Porky Vision, right? Now, I've watched other programmes, of course. I watched lots of other programmes. Little Drummer Girl.
Oh, Little Drummer Girl's great.
No,
now, I've been watching
more
that.
And more confusing.
What do you mean confusing?
Well, it's ridiculous.
The only thing that I don't
know. Gone to work for the Mossad?
Well, the only thing I'm not sure about is she working for Mossad, or in fact, is she working for the Palestinians?
Well,
is she working for like Black September? Because it seems to me that the Mossad types are also kind of operating as double agents. So I'm not sure whether she's actually operating on behalf of.
Well, I don't like these stupid spy thrillers like that.
Why?
But I can't understand which side anyone's
on.
You
used to like Riley, Ace of Spies, didn't you?
No.
You didn't like Riley, Ace of Spies?
Who was in it?
Riley, Ace of Spies was Laurence Olivier, wasn't it?
Laurence Olivier,
wasn't it?
I don't think
or
so.
Or John Gielgud, or one of those.
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Riley, Ace of Spies, it was the original sort of spy show that came out in the 70s.
Oh, did it? Really? No, I remember seeing that. You see, I used to like James Bond films when you knew who the goodies were, knew the baddies were.
Yeah.
And people got shot with guns and all that. But, you know, James Bond films now are all about people getting electronically embezzled and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so getting back to Little Drummer Girl.
Yeah.
Who's the very ugly Israeli with the thick glasses and the
beard? That ugly. He's the guy that's in charge. He's the mastermind. The guy with the moustache.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, he's the guy with the moustache.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's very good anyway.
Yeah, look, they did a remake of Riley, Ace of Spies with Sam Neill.
Sam Neill,
he's the guy from The Omen.
That's right, him. Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
I thought it was an older version.
But anyway, so I don't really want to go on about Little Drummer Girl because I don't understand it, so there's not much point in me reviewing it.
Well, then, I can tell you a little bit about it. I think it's worth watching if you can persevere. The reason you should like it is because it's all set in the 70s, which is the sort of decade you like the most.
No, not at all. I'm not dated at all like
you
that.
You like the 70s, though?
I like 70s music. But I like the 80s politically because it was dynamic.
You like 70s clothes, though. You're
I like
wearing
the 90s because, you know, I reached the peak of my, powers as
really?
Communicator.
Are you saying that you're in decline now?
I'm not in decline at all, mate. Right. I'm not in decline
so
at all.
So if you reached your peak 20 years ago, though, you might say you're in decline.
No, because I stayed at that peak.
Did you?
Now, what I was going to say was, I'm going to say is, so go I told on. You about the situation in Blood, where one of the sons turns out to be homosexual.
I'm not entirely sure whether I want to watch that or not, because I don't think it'll be possibly ever as good as the way you've described it.
It's brilliant, honestly. But I saw an episode of Coronation Street the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And Coronation Street gets more and more ridiculous.
It's become very PC, isn't it?
Well, it's incredibly PC. Yeah. And as they try to load more and more PC stuff on it, you know, like they've done in Doctor Who as well,
right.
It becomes more and more ridiculous. Yeah. So in this particular
scene...
Doctor
Who the other day, by the way, apparently they did a show with Rosa about the whole Rosa Parks
incident. Yes, that's
right, in, you know, the race wars in America.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Oh, a load of bollocks.
Well, it's not a load of bollocks in the sense that it was quite an interesting...
Yeah, but it's not about Doctor Who, is it?
It's not to do with Doctor Who. No. Doctor Who should be fighting the Daleks. He should be fighting the Cybermen.
Yeah, exactly.
He should be fighting people from the 14th century.
Yeah.
He should be going forward to the 25th century.
Well, they should be fighting people for the future.
Absolutely, and all that kind of stuff. And it is a load of bollocks, I agree, because all they're trying to do is push propaganda down
our
throats.
I don't mean the Rosa Parks story is a load of bollocks, because it's a true story, but it's got no business being Doctor Who.
No, it hasn't. It's not. It they shouldn't be dealing in factual stuff.
I mean,
like
you might as well have an episode of, you know, Blackadder, with something to do with Rosa Parks.
I totally agree. So anyway, what happens is, there are two daughters who've grown up in Coronation Street called Rosie and Sophie.
Okay.
Rosie, Sophie, come down and get your baked beans on toast.
Right.
You know, like that.
Okay.
So Rosie left a few episodes ago. Like a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was Helen somebody, very attractive girl,
uh-huh.
very good looking, went off and pursued another career, married a Celtic footballer, had children, and is doing well. You know,
right.
Helen Flanagan.
Helen Flanagan, yeah, I used to talk about her a lot.
That's right, yeah. Now, the other sister is Sophie.
Right. So Helen Flanagan's not in anymore.
She came back briefly, you know, I've come back home from modelling abroad, but then went off and modelled abroad again. You see what I mean?
Okay.
You know, yeah. She plays a model.
Well, modelling abroad's very lucrative.
Yeah, she plays an airheaded model. And I'm not being rude about Helen Flanagan, her role portrayed her as an airheaded model.
Not much
model.
Of a stretch, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. So,
a bit unkind.
So Sophie,
yeah.
and this is amazing, for one little cobbled street in Manchester,
yeah.
Sophie has so far, at my count, had four lesbian relationships
right.
in Coronation Street.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where she finds
them. Well, in one street.
In one street.
Yeah.
You know, she found the woman who was giving a massage after an accident turned out to be a lesbian. So
why
was
she giving her a massage after an accident?
Because she was in a car that went over a cliff or something.
Well,
you
why
know?
Is you on a massage after you've been in an accident?
Well, her neck had gone, you know what I mean? So she's getting her neck put back and all, you know what I mean?
Well, what sort of massage was she getting?
Well, I mean, I'm not getting into the smuttiness that you're insinuating.
Well,
it seems
a bit of an odd thing to go and try and find. If you've been in a car crash, why would you want some lesbian giving you a back massage?
She didn't know she was a lesbian when she started massaging her back, honestly.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then they, you know, they had feelings for each other, had a relationship. She had another.
Nothing wrong with that.
She had another relationship with a policewoman.
Right.
Who was she, a policewoman? No, I think she was a policewoman, yeah.
A special constable?
No, I think she might have been a proper fledged policewoman
uh-huh.
who was also gay.
Right.
She had a relationship as a teenager with another school friend who was gay.
Okay.
And now,
so this is all the same character, though?
Same character.
Well, that's not unusual, then, is it? So you've got a lesbian character having lots of different lesbian relationships. What's wrong with that?
Because I don't think there's that many people who are necessarily homosexual in one street.
Weatherfield. Well, it might be.
Yeah, but anyway, I just think it's, you know, it's a bit odd that, anyway, the latest one is so ridiculous you couldn't make it up.
Go on.
Sally is their mother.
Yes.
And she's the former mayor.
Right.
And she has been accused of embezzling money from the mayor's office,
uh-huh.
which she's totally innocent of, by the way.
This is the mayor of Weatherfield.
Mayor of Weatherfield. Yeah. Sally was mayor of Weatherfield.
Yeah.
And some conman latched onto her and asked for money for one of his charities, a conman, And she very kindly handed it over. It was a sob story.
Mm.
But it was paid into the conman's bank account.
Right.
And then the conman got caught.
Mm.
But then the conman claimed, but Sally was in on it and I was going to give her half the money back.
Oh, dear.
You see? And Sally denies
all
this.
It's not very nice, is it?
It's not very nice. And Sally's as honest as the day is long.
Right.
So anyway, what happens is that Sally gets a lawyer. So this lawyer that Sally gets...
Is Sally the lesbian?
No, Sally's the mother of the lesbian.
Oh, okay.
Sally's the mother of the lesbian,
right.
Yeah. So Sally goes and finds this lawyer, and she looks perfectly respectable and normal and as straightforward
trustworthy.
As anybody else. Yeah. And I'm sure she's all those things.
Yes.
And she's married and has children, but she comes round to Sally's house when Sally's not there, knocks on the door and says, hello, she's very well-spoken.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking for Sally. I'm sorry, she's not in.
Who's answering the phone? It's not Frank the Skank, is it?
No. Sophie answers the front door.
Sophie still lives with her mother, doesn't
she? Oh, yeah. And she
How old is Sophie, then?
Well, she must be in her 20s now. But she portrays a woman who's a bit slow on the uptake, you know.
All right.
So, I'm sorry, my mum's not in. She says, I had an appointment. Yeah, well, she's a bit late. Why don't you come in and sit down?
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, I'll come in and sit down.
You're not going to tell me this is going to go the same way.
Hang on, come in and sit down.
Right.
And, mum will be home in 10 minutes.
All right,
thank you. So, sit on the couch. This is no joke, Mike. This is the way the plot goes. And Sophie says, can I get you something to drink? She said, I've had a very...
Fancy neck massage.
No. I've had a very hard day, right. And Sophie says, well, never mind a cup of tea then. Would you like a glass of wine?
Yeah.
I've got a bottle of red.
Good idea.
Oh, that'd be lovely, thank you. So they pour the wines and their eyes catch. And then respectable married lawyer woman says, are you a lesbian?
She asks her.
Yeah.
Right.
And Sophie says, yes, how could you tell?
Right.
And the woman said, I just can. You know, I've come out in the last couple of years and I'm very open about it now. Sophie says, oh, that's good. And then they put their glasses down and start kissing each other. This is 5 minutes after they've met.
When was this then? Was this just the other night?
Yeah.
For God's sake.
On the couch in her mother's home, in Sally's home, Sally's lawyer is now engaged in physical copulatory, yeah. pre-copulatory behaviour, right? Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Before Sally suddenly comes through the door, they both leap back, you know.
They're presumably not naked or anything, are they?
No, they haven't got round to that yet. Right. They've not just started kissing each other. Mm. And then it becomes even more ridiculous. Sally says, "Oh, I'm so grateful to you, Helen," or whatever her name is, you know. "You must stay for dinner with us, you know." And Toby's now winking at her, you know what I mean? And then they're exchanging text messages to each other across the dinner table.
Really?
And all of a sudden, they're starting this huge, intense relationship, having known each other for 10 minutes.
What about the other women that the girl Sophie's with?
No, she's not with anybody now.
Oh, I see.
She's
right.
not with anybody
well,
now.
Well, good luck to her.
Those relationships. Well, yeah, good luck to her. But, I mean, blimey, talk about speeding up the path of romance, you know, to unbelievable levels.
What else is going on in Coronation Street? Anything else?
In Coronation Street, you've got the dodgy vicar.
Right.
Still dodgy.
Right.
So
is he the gay vicar?
He's, well, yes, he's gay, but, you know, it's been accepted by
Coronation
the church.
Street?
Well, funny enough, you know, there are a lot of people who are homosexual.
Well, that's all right, isn't it?
But of course it's all right.
Why can't they make it slightly less kind of homosexually based?
I don't know, really, because Sean, who's another homosexual in Coronation Street, used to work behind the bar in the Rovers, and he used to work in the knicker factory as the only male machinist, right?
Okay.
And then he lost his job at the knicker factory because something went wrong in his relationship with the owner, right?
Yeah.
So then he became kind of homeless. So, excuse me, a bit of winter chill.
You feel all right there?
I feel all right. Will I last the show? Yes.
Yes.
And so what Sean did then was he started meeting up with homeless people.
Oh, yeah.
Who were very smelly, and not all homeless people are, by the way.
No,
these guys.
You wouldn't want to slag them all off like that.
No, they used to sit around campfires drinking meths and all this kind of stuff. You know.
Well, one thing you don't want to do is sit around a campfire drinking meths because it is alcohol based.
Yeah, that's right.
And in fact, if you spill some of it, you could go up in a ball of flames.
Yeah. Anyway, Sean,
which is not the greatest way to go.
Sean was then absolutely amazed that he got the sack from the pub because one of his homeless bum mates, who was very smelly, burst into the Rovers, you know, and started demanding drink, but didn't have any money.
Right.
So Sean said, "Now, quieten down, you know, and just sit there over in the corner and I'll see what I can do to help you."
Right.
And then went and stole a triple vodka, a voddy.
Didn't pay for it himself?
No, a triple voddy. Right. And this was all watched by the new owner, Johnny, the new owner of the Rovers, which has changed hands again, by the way. And
this is why I've never watched an episode of Coronation Street. It's too confusing.
Yeah. And,
it's too confusing.
And of course, he said, "Sean, you didn't pay for that triple vodka." Oh, I must have forgotten.
Is that where he got fired?
Yeah, got fired. And they were going to prosecute him for theft. And he said no. So Sean ends up living in a tent.
Right.
In a bit of parkland, you know, and
Weatherfield.
Homeless Weatherfield.
Yeah.
Billy,
Billy,
the gay vicar.
All right.
Has just recently come back from being a heroin addict.
Has he?
Yes, that's
Blimey.
Right.
Blimey, it's all going on. Isn't it?
It's all going on.
Yeah.
He fought back against it and sees Sean down at the homeless shelter. Because that's where vicars go to make themselves useful.
Yeah, of course.
When they've got nothing better to do.
Spread the word.
When they haven't got their service on and all that. And says, "Hey, Sean, what are you doing down there, lad?" And Sean says, "Oh, helping the homeless, that's what I like doing. You know, I'm a good Christian." "Ah, it's very good to see. Well done, son, well done."
Yeah.
But then when he sees him again at the homeless centre, you know, and he thinks there's something going on here, he works out that Sean is homeless, okay?
Oh, I see.
Meanwhile, Sean gets even more homeless.
Yeah.
Because
how can he be even more homeless?
Well, because even though he's homeless, home is this little tent with a sleeping bag in it.
Right.
And Sean goes back from, you know, the homeless shelter to find out that somebody's set fire to his tent and his sleeping bag.
Dear God.
He's extra homeless now. Right. He's got nothing. You know
he's
what
got
I mean?
No tent either.
No tent, nothing, you know. And Billy has to give him money to get a new tent and all that kind of stuff. So
it doesn't sound like the sort of show I'd like to see, really, to be honest.
Well, honestly, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Now, what's the other one I was going to tell you about? The other show I've been watching is Once Again, and it comes round on a regular basis, reruns of The Sweeney.
The Sweeney?
Yeah, reruns of The Sweeney.
You can't put the reruns of The Sweeney into Porky Vision.
You can.
No.
You can.
I'm not having it.
Do you know what happens?
No.
What
well,
they
I
do
is, know what happens. I've seen The Sweeney like 35 years ago.
So have I. And I could watch it again and again and again. Because Jack Reagan is still the greatest policeman ever portrayed.
Pull your trousers up. He's just like his Ford Granada.
And do you know what they show in the opening, Mike? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They used to film that around Shepherd's Bush when I was at
school. They did, yeah, that's right, yeah. But do you remember those revolting platform shoes we used to have?
Yes.
Which just had a bit of elastic in them, but they were square at the front.
Yeah.
And had all these horrible patterns on.
Right.
Well, they show his driver with those sort of shoes on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pressing the pedals on the Grenada and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, there's one fantastic episode where... Because I thought that as good as Jack Reagan was, you know... Dennis...
Well, Dennis Waterman was his mate.
Oh,
he?
I'm sorry, yeah, as good as Jack Reagan was. Who was Jack
Reagan? Inspector Morse, wasn't it?
No, yeah, Jack, what was the name of the actor? John somebody.
John Thor.
John Thor, that's right. John Thor, who was...
Dennis Waterman.
Reagan. Dennis Waterman.
Who's Minder.
No, yeah. Dennis, later. Yeah, but in
he was Sweden. Sergeant somebody or other, wasn't he?
He was Jack.
George. Jack Reagan.
George. No, Jack Reagan and George... Was his skipper?
George, yeah. Used to call him Sergeant George somebody, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is my skipper, George.
Yeah.
You know. And
he always had a bottle of whiskey in the drawer.
They always had a bottle of whiskey in the drawer.
And cigarettes.
And cigarettes and roar around in Grenadas, right? But they were real policemen. So, for instance, they have under surveillance a house which is lived in by a very beautiful woman who has the trick of thumbing a lift at motorway slip roads, right? Yeah. And she gets picked up by lorry drivers. She finds out what load they've got.
Yeah.
And then she sets them up to be hijacked later, you know?
Okay.
And so they have...
So she's working with a gang.
She's working with a big gang, yeah. And the head of the gang, she's his mole.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
Except that another member of the gang is having horizontal refreshment with her as well.
I'm sure.
Behind the gang leader's back.
Right, that's never good.
So he shoots him, you know, because that's what you do if
with
you're
his
in a
shooter.
Gang. Yeah.
With his shooter.
We've got your shooter out, yeah. So anyway.
It's not World War One gun, is it?
No.
Go back to old Frank the Skank.
No, so old...
get on with this.
So old,
it's nearly time.
Yeah, hang on. So old skipper, George.
George, yeah.
He's surveying this house, and he says to his driver, he says, right, I'm going in. When they see her go out and roar off in her Alfa Romeo sports car, I'm going in. So George breaks in, you know, got a special thing to pick the lock, and he says to the driver, you know, give me 3 oots on the horn if she comes back.
Right.
But the driver's a bit thick, and he didn't notice that she didn't come back, but her boyfriend, the other member of the gang, came back.
Yeah.
He lets himself in.
Right.
George is inside, thinks, what can I do now?
Right.
Hides behind the door, and as the bloke walks down the corridor, he just steps out and says hello and smashes him in the face and knocks him out. I mean, just completely knocks him out, you know what I mean? Mm. And the bloke...
Right.
And then George just comes out, you know, and then, you know, later, Jack Reagan says, did he cop you? He says, nah, Gav, he says... I hit him so hard that he went, you know, when he wakes up, he won't remember anything, you know. And that's the way the policeman used to work.
That's the way they used to be.
That's the way they used to work,
that's
you
the
know.
Way it used to be.
So that's kind of Porky Vision,
well,
really.
Well, that's the end of Porky Vision. And, we'll have another one for you very soon.
And then I'll have seen the final episodes of Blood.
Of Blood.
And I'll find out whether Frank the Skank survived, right? And whether the daughter's right, did her father, the GP, murder her mammy?
It's all coming
up. Why did you murder me mammy?
On the record.
On the record with the two mics. Frank the Skank, who's been knocked over.
He's dead, isn't he?
Well, no, he survived.
He survived?
Yeah, but he's in hospital.
Right, okay.
But they go through his luggage, you find a gun.
Ah.
Like a revolver. Okay. But it looks like something from the First World War, literally. Okay. You know, it's
maybe
like,
it's an old revolver.
It was an old revolver. Yeah. And what happens is that it's not the brother who's homosexual, right? But I think it's the husband of...
Of the 30-year-old
of the,
woman?
Of the other daughter,
the other
because
daughter.
The 30-year-old's not married.
Okay.
But for some unknown reason, he goes and finds the gun.
Right.
And then blows his own head off with it. I'm not sure why you find that
it
funny.
It doesn't sound like a comedy, but it's the way you tell him.
No.
It's the way you tell him.
Yeah, yeah. So they pour the wines, and their eyes catch. And then respectable married lawyer woman says, are you a lesbian?
she asks her.
Yeah. Right. And Sophie says, yes, how could you tell?
Right.
And the woman said, I just can. You know, I've right. come out in the last couple of years and, right. and I'm very open about it's it lively. Now. Sophie says, oh, that's good. And then they put their glasses down and start kissing each other. This is 5 minutes after they've met.
When was this, then? Was this just the other night?
Yeah, yeah.
God's sake.
On the couch yeah. in her mother's home, in Sally's home, Sally's lawyer is now engaged in physical copulatory, yeah. pre-copulatory behaviour, right? Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Before Sally suddenly comes through the door, they right. both leap back, you know.
They're and say, presumably they're not naked or anything, are they?
No, they haven't got round to that yet. Right. They've not just started kissing each other. What Sean did then was he started meeting up with homeless people
oh, yeah.
who were very smelly.
Right.
And not all homeless people are, by the way.
No.
These guys were...
You wouldn't want to slag them all off like that.
No, they used to sit round campfires drinking meths and yeah. all this kind of stuff, you know. Yeah.